So if you would please turn to Matthew 22. Let's just skip right to it. Matthew 22. I'm going to start with verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." This is what I'd like to focus on today briefly, is the second commandment. Let's go to Luke, please. Luke 18. And let's look at an example, a terrible example. We can learn from bad examples as well as good examples. But let's look at an attitude of a terrible example, and I'm sure an example that we've seen in the Church of God over the years as well. So Luke 18 and verse 9. This is a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And we learned quite a bit about the Pharisees yesterday and the Sadducees and their attitude and what they had created in the church by the time Christ had walked the earth. So let's pick up here at verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. That's very important that he's praying with himself. And we know what he's praying here. When we get to it, we'll understand that why he's praying to himself, because of his attitude. He said, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector that he obviously saw walking past him." What arrogance, brethren. What an attitude of selfishness and ego and elitism. He says, "I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." What two different attitudes we have here. You know, we're talking about at this feast, the theme is the rivers of living water. And we're the first fruits of God's people, obviously. And God's people are scattered all over the earth, keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. And we're the first fruits, as I said, but we're not all of God's plan. We're just part of God's plan. And we need to understand that all creation and all humanity belong to God. And His goal is not just to bring first fruits, but the great harvest that's coming at the end, pictured by the last great day. So let's look more at this attitude of arrogance in John 8. Now we know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't accept Christ, obviously, and yet they had this pretense of religion and this pretense of faith and exclusive attitude, even amongst themselves, with the two groups and sects, as we heard yesterday. Let's pick this up in verse 38. "I speak what I have seen with my Father," this is Christ, "and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." In arrogance, you could see their arrogance and the tradition that they had and the attitude that they had. They were better than everyone else because of someone in the past. But that's not the case. Christ came out and told them directly to their faces, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." So let's go back to Abraham. Let's turn to Genesis 13 and let's see some of the works of Abraham. Now, we're familiar with the fact that that Abraham had faith in God, that Abraham was called by God, and that he had faith that Isaac would be born when he was promised that Isaac would come. He also had the faith that when God asked him to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham was going to do it. He didn't hesitate. He took out early in the morning. He was going to do that. He had the faith. And those are great works of Abraham. But let's focus on some other works of Abraham that kind of align itself with our attitude towards others as well as our attitude towards ourselves. Okay, let's look at Genesis 13, and let's start in verse 5. Now Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them. There were too many people, too many flocks, too many animals, not enough water, not enough pasture, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram, his livestock, his herdsmen, and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Verse 5. So here's Abram's attitude. Look at what he says very carefully. Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I will take the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Brethren, we can concentrate on what Abraham has actually said here. But let's think about what he didn't say as well. Abraham, he knew he was called by God. God spoke to him personally. But there's no arrogance in Abraham. There's no attitude here talking to his nephew. Look, I'm the uncle, I'm the oldest, I'm the nephew, you're the nephew. You do what I say. You get in line, you straighten out your guys, and you're under my authority. Nor did we see Abraham say, look, I'm going to take the best of the land because God called me, not you. You're just along for the ride. We didn't see that. He had concern for his family. He had concern for the strife. He wanted to stop. He did not. He knew that was not a good thing amongst the people. So, a wonderful attitude of concern for someone else. And here's another example. Genesis 18. This is an amazing example. We'll start in verse 1. Then the Lord appeared to him, Abraham, by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent in the heat of the day. Okay, then let's go to verse 4. Please let a little water be brought. This is Abraham's attitude. Well, let's start in verse, this correction, let's start in verse 3. And he said, my Lord, if you have found favor in your, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. So here's Abraham thinking of someone else. And let's go to verse 16. We know the story. Their feet were washed. They were given food and rest and shelter, shade under the tree. Verse 16. Then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to send them on their way. So he's walking beside the Lord as they're walking away from his camp. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. All right, let's go to verse 20. Jump down to verse 20. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood before the Lord. So this is very important, Abraham's attitude here. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? You see the concern here, brethren? He didn't point out, over there, Lord, there's Sodom, there's Gomorrah. Go get them. Destroy them. Whether there's righteous people there or not, destroy them all and you can sort it out. That was not his attitude. His attitude was of care and concern for other human beings. Was not haughty, was not arrogant. He didn't have an exclusive attitude. You've called me Father, wipe those other guys out. It just wasn't there. It was not his attitude. So here he entreats the Lord. Suppose there were 50 righteous men within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare the 50 righteous men that were in it? And then time and time again we see Abraham entreats God. And I wonder if the Lord didn't tell Abraham what he was doing to test him, to see what he was going to think, what he was going to say and do, and to test his attitude. 6 times Abraham came to the Lord over the same matter. How many, if we have children, our children ask us, Daddy, can I have this? Daddy, can I have that? Over and over and over again, we lose our patience. It's obvious here, I think, that the Lord was not desirous to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and that he wanted to know what Abraham thought about it and what his feelings were. So here, Abraham, suppose there were 5 less than 50. Suppose there were 45. And what if there were less than that? What if there were 40? What if there are 30 and 20? And then lastly, he says, verse 32, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found. And he said, the Lord, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way. What an awesome example of Abraham's works. And Christ was surely talking about these things as well when he was talking to the Pharisees. This was Christ. He knew Abraham. He taught Abraham. He tested Abraham and knew his faith. So let's turn back to John 8. Let's read one more verse with what we had read before. Let's start in verse 39. So this might have a little more meaning to us, having searched out these words of Abraham. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. So finally, let's turn back to Matthew. And we'll add one more scripture to Matthew 22. And we'll see the attitude God wants us to have. Once again, verse 36. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these 2 commandments hang the law and the prophets.